Hello, I'm Craig Seibert.
And I'm Stephen Duanis.
We are the hosts of Meet Me at the Table podcast. It's a podcast that's focusing mainly on Christianity and how it's lost its personal connection to people. But we want to leave the table open to discuss other areas as well. We're going to tackle issues like women in leadership roles in the church, acceptance of those in the LGBTQ plus community, or racial indifferences. So we set the table for all sides to be heard in a respectful manner. And having said that, we actually have guests on today. We have guests on today. We have Danielle and Wolfgang, and they are from a podcast called, it used to be called Translating Love. Then it turned over to Hello, I'm Listening, which is kind of the same idea from what I understand of what podcast titles I saw. And kind of their little background on them. I'm going to let them talk about their podcast themselves, but they've got almost 100 episodes, coming up on 100 episodes, looks like, on their podcast. Very interesting titles. They are coming to us from their basement, which is one of their last podcasts, which I thought was kind of funny, and I kind of expected to see rats in the background. Danielle and Wolfgang, welcome to the podcast. Can you give us a little background on you and the podcast itself and why you're here to talk with us?
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
First of all, I'm Danny and my husband, Voifi.
Hi.
We are living in Austria. I'm from the U.S. I'm from the Midwest area. And he's from here his whole life.
I'm from Austria. Okay. Born and raised, still here.
Still here. Not Australia. Austria.
Indeed. Indeed.
About me, I guess a little. I'm 30. What else can I say?
You're a massage therapist.
I'm a massage therapist. Yeah. Okay. I speak German almost fluently. Almost.
You speak fluent German.
And I don't know. Yeah. I have rats. I like rats. As we've mentioned.
And check out their podcast because they do talk about it.
We do talk about our rats.
Yes, we do. We do. Yeah, I'm 31. I was born here, raised here, still here. And I'm like a self-employed filmmaker, videographer, designer and stuff. And we have a podcast, as you mentioned. Going almost 100 episodes.
Yeah, we started in 2020. We started it as Translating Love. And I don't know, maybe we can get into a little more detail later about what it is exactly, but started as more of a relationship podcast, and where we just kind of talked about relationship topics
and everything revolving
based on our own experiences and talking to other people on their experiences. But then we kind of wanted to branch out because after 70-ish episodes, we were starting to not find topics to talk about anymore.
Repetition was occurring, and we actually did a couple of episodes
twice.
Without
realizing it.
But So that was a problem. Yeah. Then we thought, let's branch out a little bit and keep it the same thing, but open it up for more topics.
Just broaden the horizon a little bit and be able to talk about anything.
Right.
Yeah, so. By the title, it definitely makes it very open to, religion, non-religion, anything that has to do with just being there and taking someone's ideas and pulling them in and then kind of talking about them. So, I guess Stephen actually has a funny story about one of your podcasts from last night, actually.
It's a funny, not funny, funny story. So yesterday, I had to go pick up my daughter from my parents' house. And I thought, you know what? I should probably listen to the last episode just in case anything comes up. I don't look stupid. So I get 5 minutes into it and I see a deer.
Ooh.
I ran over that deer. And that my car is totaled. But I just thought it was funny. As me and Craig were talking last night, I was like, you know what? I was listening to their podcast during this. So I'm pretty much going to blame them for it.
Where should we set the money?
Yeah, so if you can Venmo me at, but no, I finished it this morning, which again makes more sense of why you're in your basement. So if you've not gone to listen to them, please go listen to them. You can understand a little bit more. Again, funny, not funny, funny story.
You know, in the Midwest, we typically tell people like a way to say I love you in the Midwest is watch out for deer. So maybe I should just start ending our podcast with watch out for deer. purely so nobody that. Else hits the deer.
That's then, a great idea.
I guess if I hit them, it means I love you guys.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Hello, Stephen was listening.
Yeah. I mean, you were so engaged into our conversation.
I was obviously. so engaged. Yes.
So I think the conversations we're going to have today are really going to be based around, again, we kind of go from the Christian point of view of things and how to work our ways around that. But we're always looking for that other side of this perspective. And we've got some ideas and points we want to talk about. And if those go off on a tangent, we'll go off on a tangent. But Stephen, did you want to go ahead and ask the first question? Kind of get us into it?
Okay. Yeah. So from your all's perspective, either yours or, you know, if you want to speak for your country, what is the view of American Christianity from Austria or from your all's household?
I think you can answer that probably better than I can.
It's a fun question because I had to think about it a little bit. And the main, like in my opinion or in my worldview, the Christianity in America is more based on movies and series I've seen and watched. And most of the time, what is portrayed in those movies or series, I would say the mainstream, not like some like Christian productions or stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the mainstream is mostly like very either in a very extreme direction where they're very extremists in the sense that if you believe in something else, if you look different, if you don't believe in anything, they are almost like angry and
coming out with the pitchfork,
right? Stuff like that,
so, casting you out,
and, right? And also like I mean, more like the horror film side of things where they are like almost cultists,
yeah,
like it's like an occult where they meet in this barns and they preach, and then all of a sudden some people drop down and like have spasms and shit and stuff like that, you know, and it's, I don't know. So if someone would ask me that question, I would say I immediately go to those pictures, like to those images where it's very extreme partly, but then again, like things you see and read in the media and hear from people, it also seems very hypocritical in the sense that they, you know, they try to preach those things that the Bible says and stuff like that, but at the same time they try to, especially like politicians, they try to, you know, bend the Bible, the rules,
manipulate
to their advantage, right? And I mean, love thy neighbor, for example. I mean, if they talk about Mexicans or other like foreigners, I mean, there's nothing about love there. Mm. Yeah. So it's more to that. I don't have like a very positive view on that stuff, but also mostly because I grew up in a Christian household and I have seen the hypocrisy, and you know, they preach about you have to go to church and then they never go, and you have to sit there and listen to all that stuff to be a good Christian and to, you know, love thy neighbor, to give and not hate and be greedy and all that stuff. But at the same time, as soon as they walk out of the church and it's Monday again, they forget that, or they seem to forget that, and they act as selfish and as self-entitled as they would ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I know we talked about this just before, but you guys do you both come from a Christian background at some point in time in your life?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting that, I'm running this through my head the entire time. Steve and I were talking about it this week on the questions we were going to ask. I didn't even take the idea of social media into the equation. Mm-hmm. That a lot of what you're going to see, it would be either social media or movies or, mm-hmm. you know, something that's depictions of Christianity. That I hadn't really thought about that. How did that hit you different, Stephen?
No, I mean, that's the only thing I kept thinking when he said that was in the beginning was it's even in the movies and Christianity in general is the kind of what the post I was starting to work on, which is come as you are unless. And then there's that asterisk of unless this. And that's kind of what the movies depict as well. It's, well, here's always these bad people And then here's these Christians coming to save the day, and kind of like what we see in Ukraine right now, where Christians are going out there and they're preaching them, saying, well, God is great. God is great, which yes, he is. But like sometimes maybe just lend a hand, you know, love mm-hmm. your neighbor. And then maybe they'll just see the outpouring love of God through you instead right. of just yeah. preaching. Sorry, I went on a tangent there, but.
No, right. So yeah.
Do you think that's also the kind of the view of the from your native country as well?
I think so. I mean,
we get a lot of our information about the States in either just the local newspapers or again, social media or from yeah. the movies. And I think a lot of people, I've seen it with his mom, for example, not specifically with religion, but just in general about how things are in America. She might say something where she's like, but this is how it is in the US. And I'm like, but it's not. That's what you see in the movies.
Yeah. I think we and like the people in Austria have a more, they are more aware of other countries since we are so small and we tend to branch out a little bit to feel more international. Mm-hmm. Whereas like the people, like most people in America, or as from what I've encountered, are they don't look over their border. Mm-hmm. They don't look across the pond. Yeah. So very they don't even know. Right. They don't mm-hmm. even know what's going on over there. We had a very interesting talk about like, what was it? The topic about medical.
Oh, healthcare system.
Mm-hmm. And that is a good example for how people in America are not aware of how bad their healthcare system is. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And I think that's the same with religion. They assume things here in Austria based on, again, social media and movies, and especially American-made movies, because they just are very popular here, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think it's pretty much the same.
Yeah.
What's the number one movie that you're thinking of in your head right now? Is it Passion of the Christ?
No, actually not. It's, what is the movie called?
Dan Brown books, the one off the Dan Brown books.
No, the Da Vinci Code.
Oh yeah, no. It's actually, I mean, I'm thinking like if I'm thinking of media in general, I would think about Far Cry 5, where it's about, it's basically based in the rural countryside yep. of America, and it's about this preacher who has this cult formed, and he preaches about the world is going to end soon, and you have to fight his occultists, and at the end the world ends, which is kind of funny. But I think of that, and there's a movie, but I can't think of the name right now. But it's also about an occult, and it's also about like this very deranged people who are so into their beliefs. Like they believe everything that the priest is saying at this mm-hmm. point, and the priest is using that to his advantage. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sounds so very extreme.
Yeah,
it does sound similar to reality, unfortunately. Yeah. Even the cultish part, I mean, it's really weird because, you know, Steven and I have kind of removed ourselves from church recently. And when I think back of some of those things, even Easter was one of the big things that we did was the preacher said, he has risen, and we respond with, he has risen indeed. And I've grown up with that my entire life, and that being a big part of my life. And when I sat back this year for the first time, not actually going to church and seeing that happen, I even posted it on my Facebook page and got some responses. And I went, wait a minute, that's very cultish. That's very, I do this, you respond, or you're not mm-hmm. really part of the group. And I felt really strange about that. Mm-hmm. So I guess seeing also, that, go ahead.
It feels so, to me, when I was in church and you get that response, that, you know, speak and respond or whatever yeah. it's called. It feels so second nature when you're doing it because you're so used to doing it that you're no yep. longer really thinking about what you're actually saying. And so I think that's why for me it felt so cultish, because it's like you don't have there's no emotion in the people's yeah. voices when they're responding. Yeah. And it's just, this is just what we say. So it's no longer, I'm actually thinking about what I'm saying and what this means to me as a Christian.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to say it because that's what you do.
Yeah.
And I think that just without that thought behind it, it kind of loses all of its meaning.
Which is kind of, in my opinion, where Christianity is today. I think if someone was to ask me, why do you believe in Jesus? I was raised that way. which is where I'm at now. I mean, I still have the roots of Christianity in me, and I want to further educate myself because I want to be able to, as my kids grow, provide them with X, Y, and Z, and then let them go choose what they would like to do instead of saying, this is what you have to believe. I've been blessed with parents who have supported that in me. They might not agree with everything that I say, but they at least support that. And I want to also instill that in my kids. Because I want, when someone asks me, why are you Christian? I don't want to respond, well, that's what I was raised to be. And until I asked that question to myself with politics as well, until I started traveling and stepping outside of America, I didn't see a different perspective. I only saw one side of the aisle. Yeah. Good tangent right there.
Good tangent.
We're good at tangents too. So
yeah. am I up next?
You are up next.
I am up next. Okay. We're going to change courses. That's good responses though. I didn't think about that perspective being just from the media at that point, because I always expect people to have interactions with other people in other countries, like kind of like this, where you're just having an actual interaction. But I don't think about those, the social media and the movie side of it. So kind of a, you're right. A good segue is there something in particular that bothers you most about Christianity or Christians, or that you have frustrations with, or if not, is there an opposite? Is there something that you really, that appeals to you of from them?
For me specifically, I will try not to make this go on a crazy tangent either, but the good side of it for me, I'll start with that, because like I said, I have nothing against religion by any means. I think it's beautiful. I think that it's something that makes humans so fantastic and lovely, because you can blindly put your faith into something that you don't see. And for me, that's always been something that's hard to grasp. And so I think it's one of the most beautiful things in the world, no matter what you believe. But personally, so I grew up in a Christian household, and I would say I stayed with the church until around high school, maybe my sophomore year of high school. But the more I've analyzed it as an adult, the more I've realized that I don't think I actually ever really believed in God as like a physical being. I think I always kind of believe there was something, like I do now. I believe there's something bigger than us. But for me, it's more of spiritual. It's more of an energy. It's more of, you know, just look at the mountains surrounding us, or look at this, the nature, or these massive trees. And it's like there has to be something bigger than us. But I feel it more as an energy personally. But, you know, when I was a kid and I would go to church, I would see these people just celebrating and worshiping and having this faith. And I so desperately wanted it. I so desperately wanted to believe that I think I just forced myself to say, I believe this. Right. Yeah. And my parents did, coming later to find out as an adult that my mom was also forcing it for a very long time, because my dad was so in his beliefs, and she wanted to raise her children with him and not having any kind of conflict with that. And so she just went along with it. She read the Bible like 4 or 5 times through. She like really dedicated herself to try to make it work. But I started to have issues with the church because I felt like there were so many things that made me uncomfortable, and so many things that I was personally hurt by. Oof. And so one of those things, for example, I have a couple of examples that I wrote in my notes, but one of those things, I don't know if you know the song Joyful Noise. It was a very, very popular song in like the youth group setting.
Yep.
And it was so upbeat and fun, and it was just different than the worship songs that you might normally have in church. And our youth group loved it so, so much. And it got banned from us singing it because they said we were having too much fun and not paying attention to what the message was behind it.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And so you all automatically get this feeling of like, okay, so is worship not supposed to be joyful? Is it not supposed to be fun? Is it not supposed to be like, what are we supposed to be feeling then?
If that's, it's like not the one right place where you should kind of get lost in it.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, as kids, we did Pharaoh, Pharaoh, Well, yeah, when yeah. people go and we would thrust our hips, that's okay.
Right. Totally fine. Wow.
Too totally much information, fine. Steven. Way too much
information. I still do that song now. So sorry, go on.
That's fine. So that was kind of the first thing that I didn't love about it. And there was also like this kind of arrogance I felt in, at least in my church, there was this arrogance around, you know, helping others was a good thing, but it was only a good thing if you could tell everybody that you helped others. So it's like you had
the banging the gong.
People who would yep. do these good things would preach in church, I did this, or Kathy did this, or Sarah did this, you know, where it's like, and then, you know, everyone would clap and the person who did the good thing would stand up and it's like, yeah, that's great. Good for you. But that's not the point. That's yeah. And so that was also starting to play a role. And then I started to question my faith. I started to question, do I really believe this? I started to question, is this the right way to do things? Is, you know, kind of like what you both are doing now and posing these questions about my faith. And I was only met with concern. I was only met with, there must be something wrong, or we need to do something to make sure that she really believes that God exists. And, you know, instead of acknowledging what I was feeling, it was more, I had the feeling like I wasn't allowed to come with my questions because that shows that I have no faith, or that shows that I'm a sinner, or whatever you might want to call it.
I'll just say amen to that. Right there with you.
Yep. Okay, then my last thing in my notes here, and then I will let Voifi actually speak.
I'll keep it short.
So, my biggest issue as well. But as I got older, I started to realize that it felt like people who call themselves Christians or just Christianity in general, you should be accepting of everybody. That's the whole point. You should accept everybody, no matter what religion they have, if it's not the same as yours, no matter what their background, their ethnicity, their how they identify as a human being. I mean, it doesn't matter. You should just accept them for who they are, where they are. And I always felt in church like it was like a high school clique. Like it was either you fit in or you don't. And you can only
fit in. We're
gonna
have a whole episode on that.
Yeah. You only fit in if you check the boxes, or maybe better said, if you don't check certain boxes. And it felt like, you know, you shouldn't dare question your faith. You don't dare question or identify as anything other than how you were born or what you were born with. And I started to see, you know, people who I love who are in the LGBTQ+ community being thrown out of the church. And these were people who are my very best friends in the world, and they're struggling with their faith now because their church doesn't want them. And I
tag onto that really quick, because I know we're going off tangents and I want to give him a chance to speak too, but I think also in taking what you just said in consideration, I'm also seeing a lot of churches that are appearing to flip that.
Yes.
And saying, hey, we want to accept everyone in the door. We want to, if you're LGBTQ+ community, you can come into our doors, but you can't serve. Mm-hmm. And when we get to the part where we're talking about whether it's a sin or not, we're going to tell you it's a sin and you should probably stop. We love you, but we don't love you enough to let you in.
Yeah. Exactly. It seems like they say, like Voifi was saying earlier, love thy neighbor, but it's love thy neighbor except when blank.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
And for me, that was where I was like, I'm out. I can't. It's not accept for me. It's just love this person and be a good person.
And I'm almost fine with it being that direct, because then I know where not to go. But it's the ones, like I said, where they're letting you in through the door and telling you that we love you. Mm-hmm. And then with the guise of, we love you, but we're going to try and get you right.
Yeah.
We're going to let you in. We love you. We're going to accept you into the walls, the church walls, but then we're going to tell you what you should be doing.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't really be on the worship team. You can't help with the kids. You can't serve, being at the door.
Acceptance.
You can't help in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry. I didn't mean to go off on a tangent, but it was really, because I think that when you see that front face, when you see somebody standing at the door saying, we don't accept LGBTQ+ people into our church, then I know right up front. I know that this is not a place where I want to be. Yeah. But if they hide it and say, yeah, we accept you, it's fine, come on in, and then start teaching you that it's a sin and that you shouldn't be able to do this and you should change your life, that bothers me. Sorry. Yeah. Off on a tangent. Back to the road.
I'm happy to talk about this as well if you're interested at, you know, later on in the episode, but putting it out there, there is that perspective changed a little bit for me in a very positive way when I started college and a friend of mine was working at the Lutheran campus ministry and asked me if I wanted to be a part of it. And I said, I have at this point zero faith and I don't know if that's the right place for me to be because I don't want to be a part of something that I don't believe necessarily. And he said, no, trust me, just come to one, you know, meeting, come to one sermon and you'll see. And I worked there for 4 years. I lived in the house for 4 years, openly as someone who did not believe in the same thing that maybe everyone else believed in. But the place was so welcoming and beautiful. Really? And in everyone in the LGBTQ plus community was welcomed with open arms. And we had people of different faiths, different religions coming and then sharing about their religion. And we learned.
Wow.
It was the most beautiful experience I think of my lifetime, and I owe so much to all of them because it really is. So I'm happy to talk about that further, but I want to give you a chance to also give your experience.
Yeah, that other guy that's in the picture there, he can talk. Go ahead.
I mean, it's a good segue because two things that bother me about the church besides the things you mentioned is the first one is being inclusive. They change the rules, and I guess, I mean, everything is growing, everything is changing, and that's fine, but the church is still so far behind in so many ways where why is a priest, for example, here a priest is not allowed to have kids. A priest is not allowed to be a woman, so there is not a woman priest here.
Yeah.
Things like that. Then, of course, the things with the LGBT plus community, I mean, it's the same. You know, they preach all that stuff that we're all the same, that we should act like that, we should love each other. But at the same time, they still have those very old-fashioned rules where they say, you can come in, you can't come in. Mm-hmm. You can do this, but you can't do this. Where that's like, it's so much hypocrisy that right in front of your face. And that's something I can't support at this point. Mm-hmm. We're living in a time and age where we should be over that. We are not. We should be over all of that. And the second thing is war. A lot of leaders use religion to start war or use religion to get people to hate certain races or other people who believe in different things and then justify war over that, over those beliefs. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's still happening. And it breaks my heart because at the end, we can't prove anything. So we have to at least think that some things that are written somewhere in those testaments, Bibles, whatever, is written by men or by women at some point in a day and age. And maybe we shouldn't use all of that or we should read it, but take it with a grain of salt and maybe pick out the things that are important to be a good person and then leave the rest as it is. And it's stories, it's about people, it's about life. And it doesn't matter if it's if you're, you know, coming from like Hinduism or if you're a Jewish person or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, it should not matter, but people still use religion as an instrument to justify war. And that is another thing where it's like, as a very, very aware human being, I can't support still something like that. Even though the church, like the Pope is still denouncing war, obviously, sure, as he should. But there could be so much more done in this day and age, but it's not. It's it's just simply not. Yeah. So that was my little thing.
No, that's good. War, that's a huge topic. And sadly, we see that in Russia right now where he's using religion as part of the reason and justification. So it's disgusting. I'm going to skip the next question because we kind of have already, in a way, answered that. So I'm going to skip over to this to kind of segue into talking about your all's podcast, the previous name and then current name. How do you handle people with vastly different opinions or beliefs that refuse to listen?
Mm-hmm. Great question.
That is a great question. You know, I think, and I've always thought this, that having different opinions is one of the reasons that makes being human so wonderful, because why should we all have the same opinion? It would make every conversation incredibly dull.
Yep.
And like, oh, I believe this. I agree. Great. Now what? And I love hearing other people's opinions, but there are obviously those moments. And I think especially in the last couple of years, there is no such thing as an opinion anymore, because people just say everything as if it's fact now. And it's just, this is how it is. And even if it's just, no, that's your opinion and that's what you believe in, that's fine. If you try to discuss it with them further, it's met with so much hatred and so much anger. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I think I'm always open to discussion. I'm always open to accepting and hearing other people's opinions and maybe questioning it or challenging it, but always open to it. And if they're not willing to meet me halfway and be just as open to hear my opinion, for me, it's just easier to, for me, that tells me that they're struggling with something. If they are not willing to listen to, it's nothing to do with me or whoever is giving the opinion. It's everything to do with, they must be really struggling with something right now. And it helps to not dwell on it so much or feel so, I don't know, angry about the situation. If you just can accept, okay, they're struggling with something and I just need to wish them the best on their journey to figure out what they're searching for in life. And, you know, we can go into a 2-hour long conversation about boundaries, but
Boundaries are beautiful.
Boundaries are beautiful.
I mean, I totally agree with what you just said. I think with social media, with the uprising of social media, the boundaries of belief and opinion and facts kind of blurred for a lot of people, and being in a bubble for a long time and not realizing that you live in a bubble online and that you just hear the same opinion back all the time and not being challenged is a problem for a lot of people who are not able to really understand how social media works.
Yeah.
And then being challenged in the real world, obviously, I mean, if you have to just think about it, if you believe that the world, like if I believe that the world is a globe, is round, you know, it's and if someone would come to me now, like a scientist, and would say, no, it's not, then my worldview would be shattered. Mm-hmm. And for some people, that's exactly how it feels like. If some people say, for example, with the pandemic is real, the virus is real. And for some people, that's earth shattering. That's like, how that's not possible. I've read the proof, that I've seen the proof online. I have seen videos that state that the virus is not real. So it's the same with everything. And I think the main problem is social media. If media would not be that big, then we would have not that problem, because people would not be able to voice their opinion to so many people and gather so many followers to spread their message in that bubble and to even increase that bubble. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think you're right. The social media has exacerbated that a lot. I mean, it has really made it to the point where you really only have one opinion on one subject, and that the algorithms are built to feed that one opinion. And it just makes those confrontations much more often, and it makes them very one-sided. And I you're spot on with that the social media is really feeding that a lot. Yeah. And it's, how do we get out of that loop, though? I mean, that's a hard loop to get out of at this point.
Well, I can say for myself, I know about 2 years ago, I acted and responded fast. And anytime someone would post something I disagreed with, I would act and respond fast, because I want to be the first to put you down. And it wasn't until my wife and I had a couple friends, they're going to want credit, but I'm not going to say their name because then that gives them kudos. But they kind of called me out on that and said, why are you responding so fast? Just let it go. And I've taken that approach, I would say, in the last 2 years of people are always going to have their opinions. I have my opinions. Just when you see something you disagree with, don't respond right away. Just take your time, listen, think about it. I might not agree with you, but let me just think and see from their perspective, because let me put on a different pair of glasses to see, maybe I see it a different way. I personally am not someone who is, I'm not vegetarian. You all are. But from what you have posted, Danielle, we have cut almost all meat out. And we now only really eat chicken. So, but no, I mean, so again, like I had a different perspective on it. I was, the Lord blessed us with these animals, so let's eat them. But the way that they're just being processed nowadays, I know this is a major tangent, but looking at different people's perspectives is sometimes a beautiful thing. And
yeah. You're talking about empathy and being able to see someone else's perspective. Yeah. And that has been lost for a lot of people. Because if someone has the same opinion, and I hear that all the time, you lose that. How, after years of being basically just in that bubble, and all of a sudden you get, you know, you get the different opinion from someone else, maybe from someone you love or a family member or whatever. How are you able to process and to work through that? That's not possible. Obviously, you're like getting angry or frustrated or you know.
Yeah. Well, they want an answer now. They don't want you to wait and think about it and, you know, get some ideas or, you know, mill it around in your head and go research some things. They want you to tell you their side is right or your side is right immediately. They don't want to wait, because it kind of goes back to what Stephen said, is you jumped to an answer really quickly. That's kind of the accepted way of doing it, unfortunately, nowadays. You're not allowed to take it back and kind of sit with it for a little bit and then have a discussion later on, which is where we kind of wanted to go with this podcast. And it sounds like that's where you guys are possibly going with yours as well after the changeover.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So segueing to that, tell us a little bit about Hello, I'm Listening. And if you want to talk about Translating Love, I know right now you're with Hello, I'm Listening. So please tell us a little bit about that and, you know, what you hope to accomplish.
Yeah. So we started our podcast in 2020, originally as Translating Love. And it kind of started because I moved to Austria in 2017, and my German was very, very bad at that point. And his English was really good, but still not, I wouldn't say totally fluent. And so we had a lot of communication issues in the beginning, like a lot. And so we were fighting all the time. We were really, really struggling. And through that experience and going to therapy and doing as much as we can to better our relationship, we learned so much about communication. And our therapist had told us we should do something together. Just that's something for us. And so we decided to start a podcast. So we're like, even if no one listens to it, it still gives us a chance to talk about things that maybe we wouldn't otherwise talk about.
Yeah.
And it was really exciting in the beginning, especially because we would be sharing all of these things about long distance relationships and how that was for us. And then communication when you have the language barrier. And we started getting all this feedback from people who were going through similar situations. And it just made us feel like we're actually helping people with this. We're actually like getting something good out there. And so we continued that for a really long time, almost 2 years. Yeah. And like we said, we kind of lost topic ideas. We accidentally repeated topics without realizing it. And we're like, okay, maybe it's time to rethink it and try something new.
Rebrand it. Yeah.
So then Hello, I'm Listening was kind of born from that.
I mean, the whole idea is we are not experts, and we state that a lot. And when we talk about things,
I'm a doctor. I'm actually a doctor.
You don't count.
But we talk about things where we have an opinion on or even experience. Mm-hmm. And I mean, with podcasts, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and Danielle is listening to a lot of podcasts. And the fun thing about podcasts is you listen actively, hopefully, and not hit a deer.
Ouch. Bingo. Sorry.
But and you can you have time to reflect on it. You know, you have time to reflect about the things that has been said and maybe then talk about things. You know, I listen to something and then I get back to Danielle and say, hey, I listened to this podcast today and this guy was on and he was talking about that and then that. And that made me think. And that was our that's still our main goal, to spark maybe like a little thought in people to rethink their behaviors, certain things they do, or like even with church, for example. I mean, I grew up going to church every Sunday and I never questioned it, because why would I question that something that my parents, you know, showed me and that is meant to be a good thing. But at the same time, I wish I would have sooner, because only questioning things is helping you change and getting better.
Yeah.
If you don't, if you never question things, you stay the same. You literally don't change.
Yeah.
And from change,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
From change, good things come. I mean, Simple as that.
Stephen and I kind of had a conversation about this. It might have been in the first podcast too. Is that at least be open to it. At least be listening. At least listen to the other side. You might find that you're wrong when you're listening to that other person. You might find that both of you are right about the whole thing. Maybe you were both really on the same page and you didn't really think about it and talk about it. But as soon as you started listening to each other and hearing what each other had to say, sometimes what you may believe is the same as exactly what they're talking about. But just because you listened now instead of just went along with whatever they were saying or social media is saying, you were off on a tangent and now you're back. Right. So
yeah. And also, I would say go on.
I was just gonna say, when did it become such a bad thing to be wrong about something?
Yeah, exactly.
It's fine. You can't be right about everything.
Is it?
Yes. Well,
outside of the relationship is what she meant, I think, because you're never wrong in the relationship. But Steven knows that, right?
Yeah. I think this is where time hop is a bitch. I'll see things that I post 5-10 years ago and I'm like, oh God.
It's cringy, right?
I'm glad that I listen to people. And maybe this is a segment that we should have, is pull up your worst time hop that you've ever posted, because I had one yesterday that just pulled up and I was like, woo.
I think the Facebook history thing is the worst thing that's happened to me personally, or the best thing, depending. Yeah. I mean, if I can look back on it and change my opinions, maybe it's the best thing.
I mean, hello, I'm listening apparently when I see that stuff, and I'm listening to somebody. So I just, you see what I did there?
Yeah, no, I don't. Fill me in.
Clever.
Oh, Lordy. So what have you learned, though, through the experience? I know we kind of a little bit went into that, but what have you learned through the podcast of both Translating Love and then Hello, I'm Listening? I know Hello, I'm Listening again, as you've only had a couple episodes, but what is the biggest thing that you've learned from doing so? Maybe not relationship-wise, because I know that's a cop-out. Because
it could be technical-wise.
It could, but obviously Translating Love, you learned that, and I know you learned communication. So I'm taking the two away from you. Mm-hmm. What's something big that you learned? Yeah.
God damn it.
Communication is our like top answer.
Yeah, okay. I listened to that podcast, so that episode of what your guys' answers were. So I took it away from you.
No, do it. You do.
Oh, he take my answers away. I mean,
let me just.
Yeah, you start, and then I think.
I think being an active listener is something that is not easy to do.
Yes.
Especially, you know, with social media and again with phones and everything, your attention span is so short.
Yeah.
And for men, at least I can speak for friends of and myself, for men it's sometimes hard to listen to everything a woman says, because some women tend to, not only women, but some people tend to...
Careful.
No, to just... tell stories in a very long and spread out way.
By some women, he just means me.
And your mom, for example.
Sure, that's what he means.
But
I can't relate at all. I don't know what you're talking about.
I think it's in general. There are some people who just tell their stories. Even it could be just one sentence. They spread it out and give it a lot of life. And, you know, and so active listening is something that should be taught in school, for example. Where, and that's something I'm still trying to learn, but I learned already a little bit. Where when we talk on the podcast, you are actively listening, you're engaging, and then you maybe ask follow-up questions to what the other person said, and then also let them know that you're there, you're listening, mm-hmm. and you acknowledge their opinion or what they just said. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is, I think that's a big thing for me.
Yeah, I agree with that. Not so much in the sense, I don't feel like it's so generalized that women tend to do that more.
Yeah, let's say
but
people.
There are people who do that more, and I am one of those people. So right. I give you that one.
I think if you'd have put it just on the men's side, because I think it is kind of a male trait to not listen as much. And I think that's just been ingrained in us for so many years mm-hmm. that we're doing things. We're moving forward. We're the workers. We do stuff. That's flipping. That's changing. That's morphing into something a lot more equal and separated nowadays. But I think you're right. I think men really have a hard time just shutting up and listening sometimes.
Which is scaring a lot of evangelicals.
Yes.
Yeah. For some reason, it's terrifying them because they pull these Bible verses where it says women should shut up and listen. And mm-hmm. that's just disgusting.
But I think that attitude, you're right. I think that attitude is what you were talking about, is that we just have been ingrained for so long to get the information and move on. Mm-hmm. And that's, we just need to start flipping that. And you're right. Yeah. I think that through your podcast and through what we're trying to do here, we're trying to help people to do that, to help people to kind of start listening better and hearing things a little bit better.
Yeah. So,
right.
Danielle, did you figure something out?
You took all of my answers.
I'm sorry.
I mean, I have another thing.
No. I mean, you can, but I've definitely learned, at least not so much in the relationship as well, but just in general, also with people too, in a day and age where there is so much less opinion and so much more fact, and I put fact in quotations, but it's definitely helped me in our discussions, both in Translating Love and in Hello and Listening, to be able to better hear somebody else's side and somebody else's opinion and actually think about it and relate to it instead of, I was always good at relating to other people. I think that that's something I haven't super struggled with in my life, but there are certain things where they're so ingrained in my brain and so ingrained in my thought process that I don't want to look at it another way. And I think that our podcast has definitely given me the opportunity to grow on that a lot more and be able to take constructive criticism much better, because that was something I always struggled with, and I'm able
much
to then
better,
take
huh?
those things and not
much is a really big word there.
Much is a big word. But yeah, I'm able to take those things now more so with a grain of salt and be able to self-analyze a little and say, okay, maybe you're right. And that's something that has not always been easy for me to, again, admit that I'm wrong, which we, you know, come kind of full circle there.
That yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay to be wrong, and it doesn't make you stupid or a bad person or anything of the sort. It's just acknowledging and learning and growing and moving on.
Yeah. Repenting.
Ouch.
And accountability and forgiveness. All these things we're trying to rethink and reimagine.
Yeah. Yep.
Craig, did you want to take that next question?
Which one is it?
The
ending one?
Yeah.
Okay. It's like the Miss America question at the end here. What is one small thing? Small. Can be very small. Can be mm-hmm. picking up a dime or something. That you would do to make the world a better place?
I would just start with that.
Yep.
I think, and I'm going back to the change topic or to the change thing. Every change starts with a thought or with a little question that you either ask yourself or that you get asked. And I think, I mean, as you just put it, Stephen, I mean, you said you cut down your meat consumption, and that started because of a thought. And that is a massive change for a lot of animals and for the environment and also for your family. And it has a massive impact in a small scale, but in your world, it has a massive impact. Mm-hmm. And I think with that, I that's something I love to do with the podcast and in general, just make people question some behaviors or some lifestyles just with a thought or just with a question. Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
For me, this is more, I guess, religion based in a sense, but I still think it would make the world a better place. When we have children, I want to raise my children in a way that they are accepting of everyone, like my parents did. My parents raised me to be a very accepting person of everybody who comes into my life, everybody outside of my life. And I want to raise my children in that way, because the more of those kinds of people that you have in the world, the better the world is going to be. And just with everything, not just in terms of religion as well, I want, kind of like you, Stephen, I want my children to know about, I want to give them the opportunity to know about all of these different religions and all of these things that are out there for them. But I don't want to put that on them as, this is what I believe, so you have to believe it too. I want them to have, right. I want them to have the information. And if they decide to go one way or the other or a third way, whatever they want to do, then I want to be able to support that on their journey, because it is their journey. You're raising people. You're raising little humans who will grow up to do big things. And yeah. I think that, you know, raising for the future is something that's going to ultimately change some people's lives, maybe not the entire world, but if everybody did it, then
instead of telling them, this is, you know, this is what you have to do, this is what you have to believe.
Right.
It's hard to do that too, because you're ingrained with a lot of times with that mindset of, if you don't raise your kids this way, you're a failure.
Mm-hmm. We get that. We don't even have kids yet, and we get that from his family. Like, they know we're not going to baptize our kids when they're babies, and they're like, "What?"
Yeah.
Wow, that's a whole can of worms.
Yep, that's a whole can of worms.
So, first off, thanks again for coming on, you guys. We really appreciate the conversation.
Thank you for having us.
I want to point out that their podcast is Hello, comma I'm Listening. You can find it. They're on Anchor FM right now, anchor.fm right now. But it looks like you can be found pretty much on most of the platforms as a podcast. But where can they reach you guys directly? What's some emails or some contacts or Twitter handles, whatever you have that you want to give out that they can reach you directly?
The Instagram handle is I'm Listening Podcast. And our website is still on translatinglovepodcast.com. And yeah, I mean, those are the main mm-hmm. things where people can reach us, mm-hmm. and our Anchor page as well.
Yeah, on Anchor, there's a feature where people can leave us a voice message, and ooh, we can play it on the podcast. And so if people have questions, if they have topic ideas or just want to say hello, they're welcome to send us that as well.
That's awesome.
Awesome. And I'll put all that in the notes and everything. But again, thank you guys for coming on. Stephen, do you have any closing comments?
You know, just thank you. You guys featured me and my wife on a episode under Translating Love, and that's really what gave me the bug to want to do this. So nice. Really appreciate you guys being on here, and really love you guys, and just really love following your journey.
And watch out for the for the deer.
Watch out
for, yeah. Watch out for deer.
Thanks again, guys. We appreciate it.
Listening again.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Yep.